Blog Talk Radio.
I got a caller say that you can't hear me. Could you tell me if you could hear me now? Praise be to God. So I'll start over. Good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Word of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. And I feel privileged that God can use me to go before the people of God. And I realize it's not because I'm so good. It's not because I do everything right. But it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God chooses who he wants, when he wants, and how he wants, because he's sovereign. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. One of the reasons we were created was to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. And God equips us to even do that. So I'm thankful, and I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedules on Wednesday night to come in a fellowship in the Word one with another, to be with the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, to go to God with a desire to grow in his grace and his knowledge. God honors it. I'm grateful, and I thank each and every one of you. Well, tonight, our lesson is let God do his work. Let God do his work. And I'm asking that we learn how to get out of the way. We quote many times in the Bible, God is working all things out together for our good. If you believe that, get out of the way and let God work it out for your good. We don't have any power. We don't even have any strength. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, who gives me the strength to do his will. We don't have power. We are powerless. But God is all powerful. So that's the title of our lesson. And we're coming out of the book of Philippians, the second chapter, the 13th to the 15th verse. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back. And I'm going to ask that someone on the line bring us to the throne of grace.
Of a rainbow, sketch it into a wet sky. It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. If it hadn't been for you, where would I be? What kind of God can give you a vision and create a skyscraper tall? What kind of God can use a pattern of color to give it a name like fall? It's no wonder how he can do every little thing he does for me. at the bottom when you told me there's a place at the top for me. I'd be on the back side when you told me there's a place in the front I should be. I'd be on the outside looking in when you prepared me a table. Unconditional love. What kind of God can take away my guilty shame and give me grace to rise above? It's no wonder how you can do every little thing you've done for me. If it hadn't been for you,
is saying, where would we be if God had not been on our side? Just where would we be? Because it is God that is working in us to will and to do his good pleasures. Where would we be without God on our side? And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. And I'm asking that someone would press the one button and lead us into prayer. Two of the callers, your line was already pressed because you was alerting me that you could hear me. So I don't know if either one of you want to pray because I couldn't see it again. So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to open your mic, and if you want to pray, you can, and if you don't, I'll close it back. Caller, your number is 678-598. I opened your mic.
Heavenly Father, gracious God, sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, we come before you this night, giving you all honor and praise. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the sun and the stars and the moon, the rain. Oh, Father God, we thank you because we know you created this whole world and you have the end in mind. Oh, Father God, though we can't trace you, we're going to trust you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer line and thank you for the woman of God that's delivering your word to us on tonight. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word, that it's a moral compass, a guide to teach us how to be more like you, more Christ-like. Oh, Father God, when it seems like everything is going in the opposite direction, chaos is all around us, turmoil, devastation. Oh, Father God, but we know you have the whole wide world in your hands. And we thank you, Father God, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Now, Heavenly Father, do not let the words that we hear tonight fall on deaf ears. Let us go back out and spread it and share it with somebody else. This is our prayer on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God.
Thank you so much, Minister Paula Cloud. God bless you. And caller, your line was also lit for the same reason, and I'll do the same thing. I'm going to open your mic, and if you want to pray, you can. If not, I'll close your mic. Caller, your number is 504-25656. Father God, we thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, Father God, for allowing us to come together on one accord on another Wednesday night. We thank you, O Father God, for worshiping with you, O Father God. Father God, we thank you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Lord, we thank you for your anointing all over her. We thank you for her wisdom. We thank you for the knowledge that comes from you, O Lord. Father God, we thank you for your grace and we thank you for your mercy. We pray that you continue to bless this Bible study and bless each and every person that calls in on every Wednesday night. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor in the sweet holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank you, God. Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for that prayer. I pray that God continue to use you and bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. There's never too many prayers. And I'll leave the opportunity open. If anyone else would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone at this time, and I'll open up your mic. God is affording the opportunity. God used all of his platforms to build his people up in the things of God. And this is just an opportunity that God is giving. Caller, your number is 504-458-9898. Your mic is open.
Lord, we come before you tonight just giving you thanks, giving you praise, and giving you honor. And we're just so happy that we can come together to hear your word, Lord God, your words of wisdom. And we ask that you would touch Minister Diane, Father God, to continue to give her strength, Lord. And we just thank you that everything come forth tonight will be receptive, Lord, and we will understand what you have for us to learn on tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for her studious studying and how she's so willing to always come and to teach and to share with the body, Lord. We just thank you for her. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Elizabeth Baez. Thank you for your faithfulness. If anyone else would like to pray, you could press the button. If not, we'll go ahead into the service. I thank all of those who have gone to God's throne of grace in our behalf. We enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. God honors prayer. That is something that God has given us to have a way to communicate with him. It's also a way for us to let God know our petitions, let him know how we feeling, and let him know our needs, and let him know that we need him and trust him. So thank you, ladies, for the prayers that has went forth. And we're going to go ahead into the lesson at this time. Again, I'll say the title of the lesson because more callers has come on the line. And I just want to say the title again. It's Let God Do His Work. Let God do his work, and we should all get out of the way. God know what he's doing. He don't need any help from us. If we want to help God, we be obedient and buy into the things of God. But when we come and make up things in our own mind and decide to do it our own way, we in the way. Let God do his work and let all of us get out of his way. So we coming from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, 13-15. Always, I want to do a little background because the scripture was talking about salvation. So I want you to know that salvation means to be saved. Salvation means to be saved and delivered from danger or suffering. So with that being a definition of salvation, we have to realize that salvation is not for the afterlife, but it's also for our present life. Because you see, salvation means to be saved, and it's saving us from danger and many times suffering. So salvation is working in our life today and every day that we live on this earth. You see, sometimes the Bible uses the word save or salvation to refer to a temporal or physical deliverance. And the reason I say that, because if we look at the Old Testament, we see that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. In other words, he saved them. He delivered them from more suffering and danger. See, salvation, you know, and the reason I'm saying this is because many times we know Jesus Christ paid the price for the gift that we receive of salvation by taking away the sins of the world. But God's grace, God's salvation has been operating for the foundation of the world. When God saved Noah, his sons and his wives, that was a foreshadow of salvation because he saved them from the flood. He saved them from an early death. So I want you to open up your mind to salvation so that you can realize that we are being saved with the gift of salvation daily. Don't just set your sights and think that salvation ain't going to start operating until you die or Jesus come back. Rest in your salvation that you have right here, right now. You see, when we were saved, we received the gift of salvation. You know, that's when it started. But it's continually working in and through us, sanctifying us daily. The salvation that we received, the things that it brought with us and what it produced is sanctifying us daily. It's preparing us for eternity. So I just want you to know that we are being saved daily. You might say, Sister Diane, saved from what? Well, you're saved daily from danger seen and unseen. You don't have a clue. Everything that could have happened to you that God saved you from on a daily basis. When we're on the highway and the byways, just walking down the street, stray bullets is all around, but then you made it safe to your home. That's salvation. God is saving us daily. That's the work of God. We couldn't do it. So when we look at these tonight, we're going to realize who's doing the work. And that's why I'm able to say, let God do his work and you get out of the way. You see, we should always just do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. We should do it even when nobody's looking. You see, character is doing character. Well, good character, because there's bad character. Good character is when you're doing what is right when no one's looking. Y'all know so many people put on a front on Sunday morning in church. Put on a front when they're around a church friend. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But good character is doing what's right when no one's looking. You see, the world standard, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, have a thing called personality. But I come to tell you tonight that personality is like perfume. You can put it on and you could take it off whenever it's convenient to you at that time. And there's so many people that has been using personality so long. And see, when you let personality be your guide, then when you're around these people, you got to act a certain way because you want them to like you. You want them to think you are what you want them to think you are. And then you're around these people and you're doing the same thing. Well, usually what happens in a situation like that, that person has put on so much personality and so many different aspects and so many different times till they forget who they are. Their only goal is to try to make you believe what they think you believe they are. And that's a mess. You see, Christ has given us the gift of salvation to enter eternity once we believe. But he also has given us salvation, which means to protect and deliver daily here on earth. Salvation is a process of sanctification. And God is sanctifying us for righteous living daily. You see, you must know that God's salvation includes rescue, renewal, restoration for us now and all the way through eternity. As the scriptures state, we should work out our own salvation. We are not working to be saved or to receive salvation, but because we are saved and has been given the hope of salvation, then we should want to work. You know, work does not precede, go before salvation. Work begins after salvation. You don't even know the work you need to do. And that's what the scripture is going to say. Watch this. God no longer judge our sins once we are saved, but he will look at our works and deeds once we are saved. You see, when God looks at us, once we are saved, he can only see his son. Glory, hallelujah. If I go into the scriptures tonight, I'm in the second chapter. I'm going to start in the 12th verse and read the 12th and the 13th verse. And look what it says. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. This is Paul speaking, y'all. Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and he was writing to the Christians in Philippi. And he wrote this epistle, which is a letter, to give them other instructions. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look what he told them. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We know that salvation is a gift. It wasn't predicated on our work, but once we get it, we should work. And we can verify that, what he said. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasures. Now, he said for us to work out our soul salvation, but he's telling us in the next verse that it is God who worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. That's why I have the title of the lesson, Let God Do His Work, and you get out of the way. You see, if I elaborate on those two scriptures a little bit, you see, we should display Christian character with fear. Now, fear is not shaking in your boots and scared, God, you know, rule with an iron fist. This fear means giving reverence unto God. Proverbs 1:7 says to fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The scripture goes on to say, then with trembling. And why it says that? Why you should be trembling and nervous about it? Because we do not know all that is required of us to please God. Once we accept Christ, we're growing and learning. You know, how many times you read the Bible and you may have been on a battlefield for a long time, maybe up in age and been in church all your life, and then you get an epiphany, you know, somewhere down the line and say, oh, I understand what that means. So when he say with fear and trembling, because you don't see the full picture. So you need to be walking lightly and constantly talking to God about what's his will for your life. You see, in working our salvation here on earth, there will be sacrificial services required of you. There will be conflict, trials, and tribulation that come against you. There's going to be a lot of molding and shaping and testing and giving and painful growing. But you got to remember that it is God doing these things in you. And with God, all things are possible. There's a saying that saying, no pain, no gain. Or no gain, or with gain, there will be pain. See, God didn't promise a rose garden, but he promised that he'll see us through. But you got to trust him. You see, trusting is a part of the work. And believing that he will work all things out for your good. When you really get a clear picture of what that means, if it says that God is going to work all things out together for your good, that's what it means. If you really believe it, then you could trust God wholeheartedly because you know he's working it out for your good. You see, obedience produces faith, and faith, when it is solid, produces light. You see, faith gives us confidence to shine in the midst of a storm. You know, some people in your life, no matter what's going on, and you ask them how they're doing, they say, it's okay, everything all right. You see, it's not that what is seen and what you see and even what they see that it's not a situation, but they trust in that God's going to work it out. One of my greatest mottos is never panic until it's time. Trust God. You see, we got to get out of the way and let God do his work. You see, when we hear about something that happened and we crash, we're in the way. Now, God's got to stop what he's going to do to try to revive you and to get you a little straight that you could go on. You know, sometimes people have debt in their family. And we know grieving is a process. And nobody can tell anybody how long to grieve. That is the truth. But sometimes people take years still dwelling on things that they couldn't control, that God had did what he wanted to do, and God knew when that person died what you would be up against, and he wanted to work it out for your good, but you took a seat. You checked out. So you was just in a way. God couldn't probably get nothing into you to even get to the next level because of the state that you were in. We got to get out of the way. We got to let God do his work. God knew your loved one died. And God had promised never to leave you, so he was there with you. He promised never to forsake you. He was there with you. He promised he's going to work it out if you let him and get out of the way. When we start doing that, we begin to lean to our own understanding. That means we're taking things in our own hands. And God cannot move the way he wants. You see, sometimes we try to fix it up. We figure we afforded the privilege to establish the way we should handle it. That's taking things in your own hands. It's also leaning to your own understanding. And it's also doing whatever you think is right in your own eyes. Hallelujah. You see, this scripture lets us know beyond a reasonable doubt who is doing the work in us and enabling us to work out our own salvation. What is working out of your own salvation? I come to tell you right now, he's talking about righteous living. You see, we could never be righteous. Nothing we could do, nothing we could say, nothing we could buy, nothing we could give, not enough education, nothing could give us enough righteousness to be able to go before a righteous God. We accepted his son. God extended his righteousness towards us to operate in until Jesus come back. So I've come to tell you tonight that the way you work out your own salvation is with right living here on earth. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. There's a scripture in Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper. This scripture lets us know that weapons will form, but not prosper. God is working in us and through us, equipping us to do the kind of work that please him and give him pleasure. See, we're going to see him. But we must get out of the way and let God do his work. You see, we have the victory, so let's start acting like it. You have problems at home. Most of us do. God say he's going to work it out. But we might not be patient. We have these children that may not be going in the direction we want them to go. God say, I got that. And ain't nothing you could too much other you could do but begin to trust him and continue to do what is right. Remember what you was created for, God's glory. You should be encouraged. The working out of your salvation is not so much your work as it is God's. God is producing in you both to will, which means to desire. See, God gave us the desire to want to do right. We ain't just wanted to do right. We ain't at the level we want to be without a desire. God changes our want appetite, and he instills in us a desire towards the things of God. See, it says God is producing you both to will, which means he's giving you the desire, and to do, which means to actually accomplish. So what is this saying? God gives you a desire to do what is right. And then he gives you the ability and the provisions to actually accomplish it. God knew you couldn't give him his good pleasure on your own. So he's working in us and through us. You see, God has never desired anything from us that he didn't provide the provisions necessary for you to accomplish it. Before the foundation of the world, God had his will in mind, and he created us for his good pleasures. Now, that's the truth. Then he turned around in Jeremiah 29. Y'all know that, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's what he's talking about for his pleasure. Say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And if your expected end is going to be all good for you, it's going to also be good for God to get his pleasure from your life. You see, God know that man could never achieve his will or give him pleasure in and of ourselves. God is telling us, now this is it, y'all. All that is said, God is telling us this. He said, now look, this is what I want. And then he says, here is what you will need to achieve it. Did say in his scripture that he created us for his glory. The scripture telling us his good pleasures. But God is saying in his word, here, this is what I want. We got that straight. But he turned around and said, here's what you need to achieve it. He said, I'm going to dress you with a full armor. I'm going to become your shepherd. But you got to become a sheep. He said, I'm going to be the potter. And you're going to be the clay. He said, I'm going to be the beginning of all your beginnings. And the end of all your ends. Because here is what I want. And here's what you will need to achieve it. You see, whatever you need, God's got it. And then we study the word and we know what God's will is. Because if you don't know God's will, you sure can't give him his pleasure. So that's why we have to go to 2 Timothy 2:15 and study and show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study to know the will of God. He gave us the gift of salvation through his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, once we accept him, he allows his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to dwell in us to teach us how to help ourselves and others. See, the Holy Ghost is doing that daily, minute, every second, every hour. That's why he put the Holy Ghost there, to help us to do his good pleasures. You see, he guides us in a way that we should go and comfort us in times of trouble. That's God working in our lives, y'all. He convicts us when we're doing wrong and seals us with the hope in Jesus Christ, which allows us to rest. God wants us to rest, y'all, and trust what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift from God. And what we do with what he has given us is a gift to God for his good pleasure and glory. Praise the Lord. You see, listen at this. God didn't just give us salvation and walk away and left us alone to deal with our struggles, trying to do his will. That's why God said, I'm your present help. I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right in the middle of everything going on, nothing taking me by surprise. He didn't just give us the gift and walk away. He gave us everything that would be necessary to use the gifts to give him his pleasure. You see, the secret to a changed life is to submit God to God's control and simply get out of the way and let him work. And I'll give you a simple thing right now, how to do it. You got to stop sweating the small stuff. And the last scripture in the scripture says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And 15 said that ye may be blameless and whole, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. He said, now, I done told you what I wanted, and while you're trying to give it to me, you got to stop that mumbling and disputing, because you see, that's a form of getting in the way. God can even speak to you because you can't hear him, because you're complaining and you're murmuring and you're disputing everything. You're in the way. He wants you to pray and you're gossiping. You're in the way. He said if you stop the mumbling and grumbling and disputing, you could be blameless and harmless without rebuke in this crooked world, and then your light will shine, plain and simple. And then, you know, you could ask the question, what do you have to mumble, dispute, or complain about? Only you can answer that question. Remember, it's God that is working in you to will and to do his pleasures, not your works. It ain't your job. And if you done took it in your hand, you're in the way. You see, trust God to move on your behalf no matter what state you're in. Have faith that God will and shall work it out, and it will be all for your good. You got to wait. You see, we shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved, complaining about everything and everybody. See, they don't have a God on their side. They're making it up as they go. So you could understand them and that a little bit more than those who have accepted Christ, who read the word of God. He said, when you're doing that, you're doing it just like they do. You see, God lets us know that the battle is not ours, but it's his. And he is able to fight and deliver us every time, not sometime. But you got to realize his way is not our way. God is doing a perfect good thing in your life, even though you don't understand it, even though you don't know why it's not like what you want. But if God gave us everything we want, when we want, how we want it, there would be no reason to serve him. God is not a trick. God has a perfect master plan for all of our lives. God is doing his part, and the only thing that is left for us to do, it's those things that we can. And one of the things, and some of the things, we could be loving and peaceful and patient with ourselves and others. Don't let your light be clouded or dimmed by complaining and arguing. And please don't let someone else make your light go out. Please don't let someone else make your light go out. Or let Satan steal your joy. When someone sees you, will they see light or darkness? Do you represent God or the ruler of this world? Does your faith shine through you as true life, leaning and depending on God? Matthew 5:14-16 say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and give light unto all that are in the house. And 16 says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see the good works. See, when your good works is shown and people receive it, and you know, that's what God was doing with Israel when he would work with the children of Israel, and the children put away their false god. That gave God good pleasure. So this scripture is saying, shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. God has to be seen. God wants to be seen in your life. You see, our good works is achieved by working out our salvation that we talked about earlier, doing what is right. Our essential ministry, a mission as a Christian, is to become a light. Have your light ever brought someone to Christ? I'll give you a little time to think. Can someone look at your life and see God working in and through you? Other than the words you say with your mouth? That's why God say in the end, they're going to say, God, I prophesied in your name. He said, he's going to say, get from around me. I don't know you. See, a mouth could say anything. That's why God say, out of the same mouth comes cursing and blessing. He said, so I don't just take what come out of your mouth. He said, I search the heart. Is there more evidence in your walk than your talk where people would know whose side you're on? And the scriptures say no one can serve two masters. We got to stop trying to mix the spirit with the flesh. God's greatest blessing is our gift of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son. And once we realize this, we can be a light in a deprived generation. We are a worker. We were created to transform the world. But every day it looked like the world is conforming us to its values. Because God has blessed us unto salvation. Nothing that comes our way should cause us not to shine. You already have the victory. You know when you know you have victory. When someone win a game, like the Saints or whoever, they win a game and the people go ballistic. They're happy, hugging and kissing and just so happy because they're a winner. We have the victory. We should act like it. We could walk proudly, not what we are doing. And see, that's the problem. Some people say what they're doing. But we need to walk proudly, not on what we're doing, but what Jesus has done. We got the victory, y'all. Your eternal life is secured, and that's good enough reason to shine. God needs you to shine bright in this day and time. Everybody know everything is going on. Let us shine as light in this dark and perverted world. So I encourage you tonight. Simply allow God to work in and through you. Study his word. Pray. Lean not to your own understanding. Just do what is right because it's the right thing to do. Simple. Love one another. Obey and submit. If you do these things, you will be a light in a dark world. So I just want to tell you, get out the way and let Jesus fix it for you. Whatever you're going through right now, my sisters and brothers, let Jesus fix it for you. What's not right in your life, or what's causing you pain, or what's causing you not to sleep, Let Jesus fix it for you. Whenever you pray, let him have his way, and he'll fix it for you. Pray and leave it there. And if you got to constantly worry, don't pray. Because it's like oil and water. It don't mix. And if you're going to pray, ask God to teach you how not to worry. And that's my lesson for tonight. Speak them at this time. Anyone? If there's nothing else to be said, we could have our benediction. If someone would like to do the big benediction tonight, you can. Press the one button on your phone. God is affording the opportunity. Well, I'm going to do the benediction from the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. And it's so lined up with the word of God on tonight. And the scripture reads, we should all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Until next week, it's my desire and my hope that God be with you, that God lead you and guide you and protect you, give you peace and joy. And if your joy is not there, that he'll restore it. And I ask you that no matter what is going on, give it to Jesus and let him fix it, because he know what to do. And that's it for the night. And everybody be blessed. Good night.